Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
For me, the only way this turns into a game is if the Bills become uncharacteristically sloppy with the football. I went back and watched last year's Broncos game. And for anybody that's done that, it's pretty easy within the first 10 minutes of the condensed watch to realize that was a just completely different team that just didn't take care of the football.
That's our friend Matt Parrino.
Yes.
New York Upstate. Bringing the heat, talking about Bills and Broncos, and reminding me of a terrible football game last year. That was also Ken Dorsey's last game as the offensive coordinator for this team.
Yeah, good riddance.
Yes.
Have fun in Cleveland, baby.
He is also gone in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's right. Have fun wherever you're going.
I will say, I think that Dorsey has a place in the league as quarterback's coach, but it's very clear that he's showing that he doesn't have the OC chops. Anyway,
yeah.
Let's not get off on a tangent. Bills and Broncos coming up tomorrow afternoon. We're talking 25 hours away, baby.
Mm-hmm.
We are 25 hours away from kickoff.
Bills 8.5-point favorites, too.
8.5-point favorites against Denver. And what Matt Parrino said is absolutely the truth, because what was happening with Buffalo, why Dorsey got the gate, and why the Bills were 6-6 at one point last year? Turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Allen was not protecting the football.
Right.
And there were spacing concepts and issues that caused some of those things. But yeah, no, it was a very gung-ho offense that was bad at protecting the ball.
Yeah. Joe Brady does simple better, simply put. Like, that's just how it is.
And he also has been using motion and precept notion that Dorsey never did to help break down and try to recognize coverages pre-snap.
Yeah.
And also try to create plays.
You know how frustrating that is in Madden? Because it translated over to the game.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you know, winding the clock down, and then you got to take a delay a game or call a timeout because it takes, you can't make them move quickly in motion. They just jog.
Yes.
But there's so much motion now.
Yes. But that's the thing, is that this team uses it and utilizes it and weaponizes it. And something that Mina Kimes said yesterday that I loved,
mm-hmm,
is the Broncos are one of the more susceptible defenses when it comes to passing yards given up to running backs.
Yep.
Expect a lot of that motion, a lot of Brady trying to create opportunities for James Cook, Ty Johnson, Ray Davis.
Mm-hmm. I think Ty Johnson is going to have a game. If I had to pick a running back, he's been a big receiving back for the Bills this season in a few games. Ty Johnson game, for sure.
Yeah, I think that Johnson's going to be useful here. But Parrino mentions, though, coming back here, the turnover battle. These are two of the cleanest teams when it comes to turnovers in the last half of the season. Buffalo doing it all year. Denver, in particular, the second half of the season, has been very clean when it comes to turning the ball over, or lack thereof,
yeah,
and not losing the turnover battle. These two teams know how to protect it. These two teams know how to take it away. These two teams have been winning the turnover battle more times than not throughout the entire season. This is going to be the game of who blinks first in that regard. Because the Bills defense lives and dies on the turnover. They are a team that will give up yards. They are a defensive unit that
lets explosive runs go.
Lets explosive runs go, but also has become more susceptible to the pass as of late. Through, yeah, the latter half of the year.
Especially secondary injuries.
Secondary injuries did not help.
Mm-hmm.
Not having the same safety tandem that you did through the first half of the year because of injuries did not help. With that said, the Rams had no problem feasting on a healthy Bills secondary, did they?
No.
No. So there is going to be a little bit of stress there. There's going to be a little bit of worry about the Bills' defense, how they perform, because Bo Nix and the Broncos' offense has been playing very well closing out the year.
They have. You know what? You know, Keon Coleman, if I had to name one person, I think he's going to have a game. Man coverage, well, Broncos' defense.
I was going to say, you also had Ty Johnson on your list there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, those two, but receiving-wise. Yes, Ty Johnson in the receiving game as a running back.
Mm-hmm.
That basketball blood in Keon Coleman, those contested catches, that's huge against this Broncos defense that runs a lot of man coverage, especially deep. You know, Keon Coleman will be able to do it. I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. I kind of, when you look at it, score-wise, possibilities, it's going to be the Bills get off to a quick start, put them out immediately, right? Like,
yeah,
maybe. Or it's going to be close, and then they'll finish it out. It's, like I said in the beginning of the show, it's very reminiscent of the Lions defense to me, like the way they play.
By the way, Bo Nix had a very strong season.
He did.
Statistically. And you want to know how statistically strong it was? He has more passing yards than Josh Allen does. Yes, Allen sat an entire game's worth after playing one snap.
Yeah, and many fourth quarters.
But when you look at the stats, though, this year, when you look at the numbers, Bo Nix has more passing yards than Josh Allen.
Hmm.
Almost, he had 29 touchdowns. Allen had 28 passing touchdowns. The difference is Allen has protected the ball all year. Nix, in the beginning,
struggled.
The nickname was Bo Pix.
Yeah. And then he went up and grabbed his own touchdown pass from Cortland Sutton. Remember that?
Yep.
He made a contested catch in the end zone. Like, what? From that point forward, it's been a different Bo Nix.
Yes. So. And Bo Nix, again, he ended up with 12 picks on the season. He threw 4 in his first 2 games.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to happen.
Well, and any advantage, I'm sorry, looking at it, a rookie quarterback in a wild card appearance, first ever, is an advantage in itself, especially if your D-line puts pressure on it.
And welcome to the real conversation that you have to have. How nervous are you about this team? Because oftentimes when they have bowed out in the postseason, the defensive line has not been able to perform.
Yep.
This is going to be one of those moments because the Denver Broncos, again, one of the least sacked teams in the National Football League this year. Gave up 24 on the entire season.
Yeah.
One of. You want to know why they're only one of?
Because the Bills are the other.
Josh Allen was sacked only 14 times this year.
Yeah.
And that's a testament insane
to the O-line, but it's also
a testament to the player, too.
There have been quite a few. Remember, I forget what game exactly it was. It might have been Detroit. He's getting brought down, and he just rips it out of bounds like with before his knee taps the ground. Like, that's Allen avoiding the sack. So as much as I want to give all the credit to the O-line, because I think they've had a phenomenal season, you got to give a lot of it to
Allen. Does also take some of that credit. Because, ready? Sacks are not entirely an offensive lineman stat either.
Nope.
They are also on a quarterback because there are sacks taken by quarterbacks who misread pre-snap fronts.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't recognize something, you don't slide a protection, that sack's on you, big dog.
Yeah.
That sack's not on the offensive lineman. They were doing what they were told. So you need someone to be running point on that, and that's what happens with quarterbacks is sometimes they will take a sack because of a pre-snap read or a misread. And that is what Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich in particular are going to have to do is try to disguise things.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bills are a team that does not necessarily have the most statistics when it comes to sack totals.
No. They've started blitzing more frequently to bring more pressure to quarterbacks.
But that's where you could disguise that,
though. Yes.
That's where the fun begins.
And
Buffalo did finish with 39 sacks on the year, by the way.
Yeah.
So they do have some good numbers here, but they're not always the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
Or the most consistent, I should say. You do need production.
Your defensive line was asleep for a lot of the season. It wasn't until recently.
For a middle part of it.
Yeah. It wasn't until recently that Ed Oliver started really showing Ed Oliver again, right?
Yes.
Daquan Jones just isn't the same player post pectoral tear last season.
Yeah. That's a tough injury.
And he's just older too, right? Age-wise. Yeah. But your edge rushers, Von Miller, getting warmed back up following his suspension being served. Greg Russo's been there all year. He's been one of the more consistent contributors in the
sack column.
But a
timely blitz also will always matter.
Yeah.
Those are things that you can use to manipulate and disguise coverages to screw up a young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key.
Pressure, baby.
Pressure from different areas, from different places, and being able to trip up a rookie quarterback. Even though Bo Nix is an experienced rookie, he ended up playing a lot longer of a college career than most rookie quarterbacks do. He played Joe Burrow in college. Burrow's in his 5th season in the NFL.
Yeah.
For context. So, there you go. But Nix is a guy that he's seen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But now you also have to deal with a defense that can disguise these coverages. They can make things frustrating to you.
They're heavy in the sack column too, aren't they? The defense, they sack quite a bit. I'm trying to remember.
I've got the numbers here. Hang on. 63.
Yeah.
You're looking at one of the best defensive pressure teams this year.
Yep.
And a lot of it comes from their linebackers.
Yeah.
Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper lead this team with double digits of sacks. Benito 13.5, Cooper 10.5. So they also like to blitz and bring pressure.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, their secondary is pretty good too with Surtain back there as well.
It's a lot. There's going to be a lot pre-snap between these two teams, and this is the chess match that's always fun to watch.
Yeah.
Pre-snap, recognizing where pressure is coming from. Allen having an ability to shed tacklers in addition to escaping them. Nix is pretty mobile himself.
Yeah, he is. He's escaped pressure quite a bit this season. But they do kind of match
Nix up. Nix ended up with 430 yards rushing this year, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are games.
What Sean Payton saw in him was absolutely correct.
There are games where he has had to run the football and run a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There are also games where he's ended up having to be contained.
They kind of match up very well, though, don't they?
This is a fascinating matchup.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more exciting than the last time these two teams met, which was last year, a very bad game mm-hmm. between these two teams, each of them trying to hand the other the win.
Yep. And then Matt Smiley got Ken Dorsey fired with 12 men on the field.
Yes. That did happen.
Mr. Frowney, again, strikes.
Yes, that did happen.
That was one game I think I was off because I had to work early the next morning.
Yep.
I went to bed and they were ahead because I had to get up early. I woke up the next morning. I was like, what happened? It was like the Sabres, the 4-0 collapse against Colorado this year.
Yeah.
I went to bed and they were up 4-0. And then all of a sudden I woke up and I'm like, what happened? Like, it's just one of those games, you know?
Yeah, and for me it was they took that late pass interference call, flipped the field, and I'm like, all right, this game's over. I'm leaving. I get in my car, I turn on the radio, I hear that the kick was missed, and I start laughing.
Yeah.
Hysterically.
Yeah.
And then start laughing again in a different kind of hysteria.
That's like a Joker laugh right there.
Yeah.
Like, just start.
At first it was legitimate laughter, then it was Joker-fied all at once.
Yeah.
But yes, no, this is a game that is going to be not entirely, but this is one of those where you say the secondary marries the defensive line.
Oh, yeah.
You're hoping there's no divorce.
No.
Tomorrow. Because you need your defensive line on their P's and Q's mm-hmm. in order to help out with this attack, because getting pressure and disguising pressure on a rookie quarterback is going to be a big deal. It is an important aspect. It is an important issue, and it is something that we need to make sure that
you need to make him uncomfortable
throughout the game.
Yeah, make him uncomfortable and make him feel like he's playing a Super Bowl contender. That's what you need to do. Yeah, impress your will upon Bo Nix.
Yes.
That's
you
what
have
has to happen.
Disguise it, you have to cleverly utilize it, and you do have to get home.
Yeah.
You have to not just have win rate or pressures. You need to get home.
Make physical contact.
You gotta cause some hits. You've gotta cause there to be a little bit of uncomfortable setting, especially in Buffalo on the road. Crowd's gonna be into it. Those kinds of plays get a crowd more engaged. They get them louder. They get them more excited.
And that's something I've seen brought up online as well through the metaverse that, oh, he's not ready for Bills Mafia at home. I'm like, he plays in Arrowhead 2 times a year. He's totally ready for that.
Once a year.
Yeah, they're in the same division. Oh, yeah, once a year.
Well,
but
the thing was the trip.
Exactly.
But the problem is the trip to Arrowhead, that was the one they lose on a blocked field goal.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, he's used to loud environments.
Yeah,
like,
he's
it's not something foreign to him that it's going to be that much of a game changer for him here. I mean, it might be. Who knows? But it's not something that's foreign to him.
There's a difference between November 10th and the beginning of the playoffs.
Yeah. The pressure, too.
Not just the pressure, but the intensity.
Yeah.
There's a difference. There's a palpable difference within a crowd when it comes to Week 10, Week 11 versus
the playoffs,
the postseason.
Well, look at the perfect game. That crowd. Everyone's shirtless. Fitzmagic's up in the stands shirtless.
Oh,
it's just like there was a whole entire different energy to that game. That game was just a masterclass. I could watch that every day.
That I'm looking at here is the Bills also are the best team in the league this year at home.
8-0.
They finished unbeaten. And that is not something easily replicated. As a matter of fact, only one other team did it. Can you guess who it was?
Kansas City.
Yes.
Considering they only lost in Buffalo, yes.
And in Denver.
Yes. I forget. God, sorry, so what annoying. A throwaway game at the end of the season.
They're so annoying.
You made the Bengals start a change.org petition to let them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Thanks, Kansas City. Really appreciate that one, by the way.
Yeah. I if I knew anyone that signed that, I'm never speaking to them again.
Like no
that,
respect.
Even anyone from Cincinnati?
Zero respect.
None. Win against the Patriots at the beginning of the season. Then you could do something.
Start
like
your
that.
Season on time.
Yeah.
They yes. started 0-3.
Yes.
You know how hard it is to make it in the playoffs if you're 0-3? And this is something that these were my first words ever spoken to me on this station. If you start 0-3, are you really a playoff team? That was said.
It's one of the truer things that could be said.
Yeah, I was producing with Howard and Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you
I
go.
I had said something about, like, you know, because the Bills started, like, they had the chance of being 0-3, and I brought up the percentage of how many teams make it, and then Jeremy ended up replying with, if you are 0-3, are you really a playoff team? Which then...
It's a very fair point.
No, I will never forget that day, because that was unknowingly a nice little fun reminder of, hey, try to think differently.
Yeah, right.
You know, you're not just a kid anymore. Think differently.
Yeah.
Think better. That's still one of the most memorable days I've ever had working here. So, yeah, no, Cincinnati weren't a real playoff team because they never start their season on time.
Yeah. But that game at the end of the season, do you think, I guess, if you were the Broncos, you shut them out. You're riding that high, right?
Do you think
they are riding it that high? Like, I don't know. Like, where's your head at with how they're reacting to that win?
I think it was needed for your confidence because you had lost two in a row. You could have ended up skidding into the playoffs, yeah, potentially. Had Cincinnati lost the night prior, you would have been able to skid into the playoffs losing three in a row. So you did need to win this game. Winning at 38-0 is a different story.
Wouldn't Miami have snuck in then?
No, they lost.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, either
Cincinnati
way. Yeah,
would have
right.
snuck in.
Sorry, I was thinking the original scenario.
If this wasn't this.
Yeah.
But for me, the Broncos, you did need that. But I also do think that...
Not taking it too...
I would... If I'm one of them, I'm hoping that the team isn't carrying
don't
that
Don't let
high.
The head inflate.
Yeah, yeah. That would be a big issue and a problem there. That said, Sean Payton is one of the most boisterous coach personalities out there.
Yeah, especially in the film he made with Kevin James playing him, the home team, based on his suspension for Bounty Gate.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, though...
Also, just words that are said. Like, I remember the exchange last year between him and the Jets about Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
And then he proceeds to lose to the Jets and Nathaniel Hackett.
Right, right, right. Back when, you know, that was the year before it was the Jets' year, remember?
Yeah. That was, oh boy.
No, Sean Payton, though, you have to respect the head coach on the other sideline. He's got experience, Super Bowl experience, playoff experience with a good New Orleans Saints team.
He's got a lot of experience. He's got a lot of a track record. I do think he gets too much run for that one Super Bowl.
Oh, 100%. It's like Tomlin's Super Bowl a little
because
bit.
It was 2009.
Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
That's like Steelers fans with Mike Tomlin saying, oh, Tomlin has a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When, like, the comparison of the coaching styles between McDermott and him. I'm like, yeah, that Super Bowl was, it feels like a millennium ago.
Yes.
Like, it's not the same. Ben Roethlisberger is not playing in the NFL anymore. Like, we cannot use that as a, that's like us saying, yeah, you know, for the current Bills or something like that. Yeah, four Super Bowls in a row.
Yeah, we've been to four Super Bowls in a row.
Yeah, no, this team has not. Like, let's stop with that. Please.
Yeah.
Little PSA there, but...
I don't think anyone uses that as a bragging point, though.
No, but like the four straight AFC championships and stuff like that. It's a little shameful, but no other team's done it.
It's a little dirty because like they lost all four of them.
Yeah. Like it's like you're playing cornhole and it's like the bag rolls onto the board. And some people count that as like a dirty bag.
It's like you scored a goal with your butt. Like, yeah, it happened, but you're not proud of it.
Yeah. Like the kick from the Sabres. The kick into the net.
Ugh. You're like, yeah, it happened, but like you're not really bragging about it.
That happened in the Bandits game last night. The final
Buckle?
Goal, Dane Smith, final goal of the game, empty net. It hit one of the Toronto players and just bounced in.
Yep, they don't ask how.
No.
They ask how many.
Just got chalked up.
So when it comes down to it, though, the coaching matchup's going to be fascinating. The Broncos have themselves a good staff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also going to lead to my big question about Sean McDermott now. Yeah, here I am bringing in one of the burning questions on my mind an hour and a half into the show. Shame on me.
Well, there's an acronym we addressed.
Yeah, there was something that diverted my attention. Mm-hmm. And it's this. If there is an early playoff exit by the Bills again, and we have to have uncomfortable conversations, despite the fact that they won 13 games, would it change any opinions about the head coach?
Public opinion.
Public opinion, probably not, because that would mean, oh, he's a good regular season head coach. He always flounders in the playoffs. But would it be something where...
The front office
thinks... Is there uncomfortable conversations that have to be had because of it? Because it would be the same old failures.
Right.
And you're getting to a point where like it's peaking.
Yeah. And you have Josh Allen almost hitting 30.
Not peaking, but it's plateauing.
Yeah.
You're flatlining in like the divisional round again, for example, or even earlier if that were to happen.
If you go in reverse, if you go out in the wild card, and here's the thing. I truthfully look at this situation with the coach. Five straight division titles, 13 win seasons are a regular thing for this team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a couple years they haven't been, but whatever. You know how much money they make from primetime games at the stadium because the Bills win so much and play so well? Like,
yeah,
it's kind of like, yes, I think public opinion, the fans, the Heat would turn on. But in the front office, I don't know, man. I think you still have that belief.
You'd still be able to turn around and go, you got 13 wins out of a retooling year.
Yeah. What could he do if we...
Where we now have salary cap room again.
Yeah.
And we can make the moves and improvements that we want to.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying I think fan opinion would trump the...
Fan opinion would absolutely start burning.
Yes. But the front office opinion, I think he's on a throne of ice.
Even a pundit. You know, or even something like what we do.
Yeah, us. I wouldn't be out on McDermott if that happened.
Yeah, no, I'm not out on him. But like,
I think the switching up of, like after those moments, right? The Rams game, the timeout. They happen.
If it's a moment issue,
yeah.
Then yes, there's probably
get
a
what
little
Notre
bit more.
Dame had and have the guy for the moments next to him feeding his ear on the sideline, like assist.
Or even so. If they lose a game, but it's just a tough game and it's a tough out, but there's no like moment that you can point to and go, the head coach had a gaffe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would help in his favor, of course. But if there is a gaffe that people will point to, or if there's a moment that people point to about McDermott, and they lose a game ultimately from that, not from it, but like, you know, it's a contributing factor. That will make things a lot more difficult for a conversation.
Yes.
Because then there's this interesting one side of, you got to fire him, absolutely. Like the fan opinion like that, it would dig in harder.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the answer to the question does sound like it would be more so confirmation bias. Because this year, they win 13 games.
Mm-hmm.
McDermott is nowhere in the conversation for Coach of the Year, by the way.
No. He's one of the more winning head coaches in history, by the way.
Yes.
NFL history.
Really, the Head Coach of the Year award goes to, it should be changed to, Most Surprising Head Coach Record.
Yeah. Like, oh, you rebuilt the team. Like, that's essentially what it is.
Oh, you guys did a good job.
Yeah. Like
Brian Daboll, here's a Coach of the Year award.
Yeah. Harbaugh, I think, is in the
What'd
running.
You do 2 years later? You're 3-14? What the?
Yeah. He's still on staff, and so is that GM that let Saquon Barkley walk. So we're going to see what happens there.
Yeah.
That Hard Knocks episode was tough to watch.
I don't know, man. The Giants, the Giants problems start with Mara.
I think, yeah.
He is way too involved.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds like another.
It sounds like another franchise I know.
Yeah.
In a different sport.
Passion Project.
So my big deal, though, is this. McDermott, I do think, to curry a little bit more of that public opinion, they do need a deeper run.
If they hit the AFC Championship, they're fine.
Yes, I would say fine. Of course, it would sting.
It would sting, but it's not. The pitchforks aren't coming out.
Yes.
Like, that's essentially
because then you're looking at it like, okay, there was a better finish here in a retool year.
Yep.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
That's fine. I would say it. I don't drink pop, so.
Well, you owe me a drink now.
Yeah.
But again, if there's an early bow out, the confirmation bias when it comes to anything about him, mm-hmm. I think digs in deeper into trenches.
Yeah.
And that's something I would want for him to avoid.
Yeah. The only reason I bring up those moments, too, is because they happen far more infrequently than the big blowouts and big victories.
Yes.
And that's why they're so much more noticeable.
Because when they lose in a heartbreaking way, typically.
A three-point deficit and like an absolute coaching blowout. Hell, you know what I'm saying?
Hell, the Bills and the Ravens this year was an uncommon loss.
Yes.
They don't get blown out very often.
No.
As a matter of fact, it's very, very rare.
Right. And that's why I think people are confident going into a Ravens game again. Like, because that just...
Oh, no. I think people here are the opposite.
Oh, I think the national opinion, just from what I've seen. Like, but
fans here, man, there's a whole lot of insecurity about Baltimore.
Yeah, it's just whatever.
803-0550 is the number to call. How are you feeling about Bills and Broncos as we are 24 and a half hours away from kickoff?
We've cut 30 minutes.
We've cut 30 minutes into it. What do you think about the matchup? How are you feeling? What do you need to feel better about this team? Is a Super Bowl the only thing that you will accept? Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, here with you on a Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR.